Hello, everyone. Let Resquickleman, it's good to see you. Diane Down Rensquext. My name is Diane Down. Natakumloops Rimumtwin. I live in Kamloops. If you talk to any culture specialist, they will tell you that learning the language of a people group is the best way to begin to understand that culture. So as KAC journeys upon the work of truth and reconciliation and is looking for ways to understand the history of the Tecumloops Deshiquem people, it made sense to me to begin learning the Sequekan Seen language. Clearly I have work to do. So this past winter, I signed up for an introductory course. It was certainly challenging. I hadn't done any formal language training in 40 years beyond looking up Greek and Hebrew words in a concordance and the few phrases of Rachiga that I picked up in Uganda when we traveled there in 1992. Two things in particular stood out to me in this first exposure to this language. First is a concept called diminutive reduplication. Say that five times fast. It's the way a person refers to themselves in a conversation. It's a demonstration of equality, a posture of humility. When I refer to myself, I'm not greater than you, we're equals. Another notion that stuck out to me was just regarding the expressions of weather. It's raining on the land. It's foggy on the land. The people orient themselves to what's happening on the land, where they are, standing with their own two feet. This gave me greater understanding about the importance of a land acknowledgement as part of the reconciliation process. It also grounds me in the present. I typically think about where I'm going to be and what I'll be doing in the future, when and if and over there, when I've graduated, when I'm married, when I've landed my dream job, when I'm retired. Funny enough, when we get there, then we're here, standing on our own two feet on the land. Christine Kane says there doesn't exist because whenever we think we got there, we're just here. So when Pastor Chris asked me to speak this weekend and share my heart and dreams for missions at KAC, I have to admit I don't have a vision for getting there. I'm more interested in here right now. Who's here at KAC and what dreams has God planted in their hearts, your hearts? What's God asking us to do right now? This idea of me, us, standing here in Tecumloops on our own two feet on the land, it's entirely biblical. The references in Revelation to those who believe in the Lamb are described like this: every nation, tribe, and people, and language. This is geographical orientation. Nations and lands are languages are tied to the land of those people. In Genesis, God says that Abraham is going to be the one through whom all peoples are blessed. And then it's renewed again through David and Jesus Christ. Galatians says that all those who have accepted and believe in Jesus Christ become his chosen people, like Abraham, and the nations are blessed through you. In fact, the nations can't be blessed any other way. There is no plan for the nations to be blessed outside of God's people. We're called to be a part of God's redemptive purpose. So, in order to realize this vision of Revelation, there are still many nations, tribes, locations, lands that have yet to hear the name of Jesus. And we need to go and stand on the land and declare that. Some of that land might be next door to you. Some of that land might be across town in the change room at your gym. Some of that land is your professional marketplace. And for sure, a lot of that land is in the global south. So at this time, coming out of the pandemic where many of our going activities were limited, we want to be listening to where God is asking us to join him in his great project of going to the harvest. Where do we fit? What's our role as individuals, as the local church, as part of the global church? The question isn't whether or not we have a role locally and globally. The question is, what are we, the believers currently here, part of our congregation, going to do? Missions isn't a program whereby we urge people to go overseas. I would love to see people live and move and have their being in a posture of understanding they are a vehicle of God's restoration for everyone they meet. Everyone is a full-time missionary, regardless of where they get their paycheck. I wonder if some folks get knotted up about verses like 1 Peter 3:15, where we're encouraged to always be ready to give a defense for our hope in Christ Jesus. It's easy to get paralyzed thinking I must have a right defense. All my theological ducks must be in a row in order to explain my faith. But maybe I'm going to over-rely on the paid professionals to do that for me, because otherwise I'd always be getting ready to get ready. I don't think that's what Peter's saying. He's saying rather be ready to initiate a conversation about why you have hope in a world torn up by war and divided by political opinions and weighed down by real suffering. Your story of your friendship with Jesus is joyful and life-giving, and that's the good news you can always be ready to share for your neighbor, for every tribe and nation standing on the land in front of someone else's 2 feet, wherever that land might be located. Cook's Jam, thanks for joining me.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kamloops Alliance Church. My name is Norman McCollum. I'm the elder and advisor with the Kamloops Alliance Church, with Pastor Chris and the staff at the church and the elders in the congregation. I am originally from Saskatchewan. I am an elder with the Woodland Cree Nation, and I really enjoy that role as an elder. I always believe in giving back what's been given to you, and that's my position here. And that's why one reason why we're here today. I want to begin by sharing a story, because our people historically are very visual people, and they're storytellers. They like to tell stories. So today, what I'm going to share is a story of my life as a young teenage boy or youth in northern Saskatchewan, where the missionaries came. So my story begins as a young boy, like I said, growing up in northern Saskatchewan. And I grew up with a family of 14 other siblings. And so it was a large family. And my dad was a Cree. He was a Woodland Cree. My mother was a Dene, which some people might say Chipewyan, but it's a Dene. And in early time, my dad told me about the arrival of the missionaries that came to Buffalo Narrows, Saskatchewan. And he shared that the missionaries that came to my hometown had applied to go to another foreign country to be missionaries. And as it turned out, they were denied their request. So the missionaries, the father, went back to northern Saskatchewan. That was where he lived, on a farm, and he just didn't sit idle. He went back and he prayed and he asked the Lord, "Now what do I do?" And he just prayed and continued to pray, and the Lord told him that he was to go to northern Saskatchewan and minister amongst the indigenous people. And that's where his journey began, to my hometown. And they went by barge. If you ever know what a barge is, it's a big boat. And they went with that boat. And along their trip, they got shipwrecked, or the boat eventually sunk. And they got to shore and saved quite a bit of their stuff. But they continued to go. And they prayed that things would work out for them. So they went on this journey to Buffalo Narrows, and they arrived at the shore of Churchill Lake, which is a huge lake, and they set up their tent and their camp, and that's where they got organized to start ministering amongst the indigenous people. And when they did come there, they were labeled as devil worshipers, demonizers, and all sorts of stuff. And I think because predominantly in our community, there were majority of the people were Catholic. And as it came about, they start to visit, go out, meet the people, work with the people, hunt with the people, fish with the people, and to begin to build that bridge and that unity and that relationship with the people. And eventually that's where I came in, and knowing the missionaries, they would go, like I said, they would go hunting with my dad, they would go trapping with my dad, and they would go fishing. And that's how they built that relationship. And you can see today in my hometown that they're still there, different missionaries, of course, but they're still going out and doing the same, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ. That is beautiful. But on many occasions, I would be playing with the children of the missionaries, and I remember they would had a little church called the Gospel Lighthouse. And as a youth attending that church, I remember one time they would be praying and they would be closing their eyes, and I didn't really know at that time what they were doing. But at that time, as later on, they were praying for us. And that's, I never knew that, but at a later date, I did know that. And that was really an awakening for me. And there was another time my mom caught me at that church, that little Gospel Lighthouse, and she came there and pulled me out of church and threatened me never to go back again. And included in that time, she would give us kind of a, not a beating, but she would take off her rubber, which she had on her moccasins, and she'd grab us by the arm and she'd give us a few swats and then not to go back again. So at that time, I was wondering why this was, the beating was taking place when these people were so friendly and so loving. So at an early age, I was a bit confused because I wanted to stay here, but I wasn't allowed to. I had to go to the other place. But I also remember another event, and I'm going back to share with you the love of God and the bridge that these missionaries were praying to build to reach the lost and our people. But I remember an incident where at many times we didn't have enough food at home, so we wouldn't go home to eat. But after school, we would follow the missionary kids home. So we would rough them up, we'd throw them in a snowbank, and we would take the lunch kits and see what was left over. And many times there was half an apple or half a sandwich, and so we would take that. And that happened a few times till there came a time when we're going to throw them in a snowbank again, and they just said, no, you can have our lunch kits. So we opened the lunch kits, and here there was extra sandwiches and extra fruit put in there. So that really demonstrated to me the love of God that those people had for us. And that was, I'll never forget that situation, because it meant so much to me that they would demonstrate that kind of love. So, and then after that, I went back to the community. After I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I shared it with the missionaries that were back then in my hometown reaching our people. I shared with him that what had happened. I accepted the Lord and I got saved. And as I was sharing my story with him, he began to weep, crying, because he seen me at my worst of worst. And that was so blessing to me that he would now see the seed that he planted at one time. So I was just great to be there with him at that particular time and see the hope that he had at one time and the love that they had at one time, well, even then, but the love they had back then for our people and also for me. And they shared it many times, the good news of Jesus Christ. So That's my story from the mission, from my missionaries coming, setting up camp, being denied to go to another country, and then God directed them to come to our people. And I want to close with some scripture on that. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, I think it's very suited for the story. And it's in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. It says, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." So I thank you very much for being able to share that with you today. But the end of the story is the love of God, the peace, the joy. And when God's telling this man to go, I thank God today that he obeyed the voice of God to come to our people, come with love and joy and peace for our people.
Hey, everybody, welcome to KC On Mission Weekend. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here, and I get the really great privilege of being able to interview, kind of question response with a good friend of mine, Norm McCollum here, who he just shared his story with you. So let me get right into it, Norm. You know, as you share your story of your interaction with Christians, it's a different story than what we hear often, right, these days of indigenous people getting introduced to missionaries and then the destruction of so much culture, tradition, all that sort of stuff. And yet in your case, if I heard you right, it was positive.
Well, it's, I'll have to go back. It's so easy to find a negative story. But this is a story that stuck with me to this day on how the missionaries, when they came to my hometown, there wasn't a time that I've ever seen them demonstrate anything, anger or anything against our people. It was always the love and the joy and the desire to reach out a hand or something like that to be able to bridge that gap, eh?
Right.
To show that they want to be with you. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. And our people will pick that up right away with that, the sincerity of it, eh?
Right.
And that's what they did. And when they began praying for me and sharing the Word of God and the Bible or Sunday school, even though I didn't quite understand,
right,
I still felt very at peace with these people because they always demonstrated love to me. Mm-hmm. When you were sitting down with them, after they would give you a sandwich or they give you something,
right,
always giving.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
What one other thing that stuck out in my life is they enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that you have worked with your people for decades and have seen all of the devastation of all of the negative stories that we hear.
Yeah.
So it's not that we're diluting any of that, but it's just so interesting, I think, to hear a positive story. You know, and the verse that you shared, Norm, was, you know, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news out of Romans chapter 10.
Yes.
So, Norm, maybe just for those tuning in, where would your life be today if those people had not brought the good news to you? Where would your life be without Jesus?
Well, I'll tell you that it wouldn't be what it is today, for one thing. Mm. Back then, my life was basically a mess. As I got older, it got into things that we shouldn't be part of, and one of that was alcohol. Mm-hmm. Keep coming back to me, these missionaries and what they shared. And but later on in life, like you were asking, my path that I was taking was not a very good path, not a very good journey. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of hurt and a lot of anger and a lot of unforgiveness mm-hmm. to my parents, to people. But God puts people in a place that is not by accident. Mm-hmm. Because when I had left my hometown and went to school, I had a home right next door to a man that was a Free Methodist. He was a little German man. And he was the next one, the missionaries, and then him. He was a missionary in his own because he's taken the gospel to me, telling me
right.
all about Jesus.
And right.
he would not harass me, but he would always seem to be there and telling me that Jesus loves you. Mm-hmm. Jesus died for you. Jesus is coming back for you. Mm-hmm. And I just tolerated this man because he's number one, he's my neighbor. And then I'd had to borrow some of his equipment from his, so I didn't want to offend him.
You needed to mow your lawn.
That's right. So I was really good to him. But one day he told me, Norman, I'll introduce you to a man who will take away all your sins.
Right.
And at that time I was healed. But I didn't know what he meant because I'd been just healed from alcohol. Mm-hmm. But I listened to him and he told me, he said, you come to my house and I'll introduce you to him. Mm. And I made a statement that stuck with me to this day. I said to him, if this man that you're telling me can do what you just told me, take right. away all my sins, in spite of what I did in my past, mm-hmm. he'd take them away as far as the east is from the west, mm-hmm. and those two never meet. Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, you come to my house tonight, and I'll introduce you to him. Mm. And that's where he told me about Jesus dying on the cross for me, how much he loved me, that God sent his son. And then he opened the Bible to John 3:16. Mm-hmm. That's a very familiar chapter. For God so loved the world, on and on. Mm-hmm. And that's where I accepted the Lord. On May the 29th, 6 o'clock, 1983. Hmm. That's my birthday.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So that's one missionary, then a missionary
yeah.
in my life.
Yeah.
So I am grateful, otherwise I wouldn't be here today.
Amen.
I know that for a fact.
Cool.
I was heading down the wrong path. Mm-hmm. Just not a good deal.
Yeah.
So, but I'm glad I'm here today.
It's cool. Yeah. You know, for those of you tuning in, Casey, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I think Norm's story is a reminder to all of us that we are asked to be faithful. Whether it's these people in 1940 who went north to go tell people like Norm about Jesus, or whether it's your coworker, or whether it's your neighbor, or we are asked to be faithful. And that's what this weekend is all about, KAC on Mission. Oftentimes we think of mission being to a foreign country or a foreign city, but this is the task of us here, you, me, living in our city. Some are called, of course, to go to far countries and far places, and all of us are called to be the people who have, dirty shoes, bringing the feet, right. bringing yeah. the news of Jesus to the places that we are. Yeah. And this has really been kind of the catalyst for our journey, both here locally and globally, to be obedient to Jesus, to yes. be the storytellers of his good news, to be representing his ministry and his love and his self-sacrificial love to people.
Amen.
So, Norm, can you tell us a little bit of your hope for what we're trying to do here at KAC locally with Indigenous people?
Well, I have to go back when I first heard you at the church announce that the church itself was stepping up to the plate, if you want to use those words, or it will be attempting to reach the Indigenous people of the community of Kamloops and then reach out. And when I heard that, I said, wow, this can be true.
Right.
But it is true. We're here today. And that was the joy of this church, finally trying to reach out to our Indigenous people. Many people go overseas, and I don't have a problem with that. But right here we have neighbors, approximately probably 14 in this area, that that need to be reached amongst many other people. But here we are as a church taking that step, say, hey, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought, whoa, man, this is real.
Yeah,
I'm going to want to be part of it.
Right.
And that's when you and I got together and we started this journey. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
And we're still on this journey. And it's just God is blessing it. Like this weekend is just, man, it's a dream for me,
right.
You know, to work with the church, to work with you people out there in the congregation.
Yeah.
And the staff here and the church,
mm-hmm.
we're doing it,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
we're action.
We're trying,
eh?
Yeah.
You know, we have to just put our best foot forward for the Lord mm-hmm. and we go.
Yeah. yeah. You know, Norm, and I you know, we're beginning this journey.
Yes.
But it's so clear that this is such contested space, meaning it's not easy. It's not easy, you know? There's so much baggage when it comes to Indigenous people in Canada. 1876, the Indian Act came into existence, and so it's over 150 years of really something that hasn't worked.
Yeah.
So there is so much skepticism, uh-huh. hurt, anger, you name it.
Yeah.
What would you say to those people in our church who are listening in on our conversation, who are rolling their eyes in skepticism or their arms are crossed in anger? Yeah. What do you say to those people, Norm?
Well, I can only say from what I have is that you would give us an opportunity to learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say, oh, here we go again.
Right.
But no, you give us that opportunity. If we look back in the Bible, that God created us in His image. And how can we better learn from each other
mm-hmm.
if we are separated?
Yeah.
If we don't allow ourselves to learn from each other,
yeah.
I want to learn from you out there and you learn from me.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a story.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the events that have taken place amongst our Indigenous history are not really good, but how would we bridge that gap to better understand you and me?
Right.
So that we can end up making it better
mm-hmm.
for everyone, not just for the Indigenous people, but for everyone.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the way we would go together.
Yeah.
Like I've learned from you.
Right.
And you learned from me.
Yeah.
And that's the way we're going to begin.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way, like when God instills His Word into us through the Holy Spirit, He'll take that bitterness, that talk that's, or false talk or fake news, whatever you want to call it, and take that away. But the joy that I see in today, what's happening is we're going on this journey together.
Yeah.
We're walking down the road to reconciliation, to better understand, to share, because I want to hear your culture, who you are, and how better we get together. Like this weekend is called Us Together.
Yeah.
Not Us Separated.
That's right.
It's Us Together.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Yep.
And I think it's that vision, Norm, of like, you know, it's taken us 150 years to get here and all of the mess that we hear about. You know, this is the month of a year ago where mm-hmm. the discovery here to Kamloops Residential School, Indian Residential School. And so we are all familiar with that. And our goal is to not dilute or diminish the past at all.
That's right. Yep.
But rather to say, you know, what is a brighter future look like? What is a better story that we can tell? And the way that we do it is by getting to know one another.
That's right.
Friendship.
Yeah.
You know, and so this is our best effort to do it.
Yes. Yes. And that even go further, that once we get to know each other and we share the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we become, and we give our hearts to the Lord Jesus. We say, Lord, I'm yours. I want to follow you. I ask you to forgive my sins. I repent of my sins. And then we move on. But I can guarantee you, at least from personally, that once you accept Jesus Christ into your heart,
yeah,
you will change.
Right.
He's a game changer.
Yeah.
The old will be gone.
Yeah.
And the new will come in.
Yeah.
You won't have any room in your heart for misunderstanding, for bitterness, for unforgiveness.
Right.
Those will go.
Yeah.
Because I don't have any today. We're the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't like me, then that's your problem.
Right.
But I want to help you to understand.
Yeah, right.
And that's what we're to do.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says that God is love.
Mm-hmm.
Who better
mm-hmm.
than to have Him
yeah.
in your heart?
Yeah.
And that's the message at least I want to take to our indigenous people, that there's hope.
Yes.
There's hope.
Right.
Yeah. There's no need to keep dwelling and living in the past. We love history. Things have taken place. And we have to deal with those, but we got to move on
yeah.
somehow.
Yeah.
And when you become a Christian, a believer, and have God in your heart, those things will change slowly. Because mm-hmm. I don't have no room for that in my life today.
Right.
It's easy. I can conjure something up.
Yeah.
But I don't have room for that.
Right.
Yeah. I want good things, like yeah. this weekend. I want to see our people share their testimonies, share with you what God is doing in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're going to see this weekend.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I just, when the first day you said that, you're going to take that step, I thought, wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Sign me up.
I'm jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah. I just hear you talking about the difference that Jesus makes, right? Like
yeah.
a lot of the conversation now, and I think it's good in our wider society, is the same type of conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of unity and togetherness and sharing stories. And I think we would affirm all of that.
Yeah.
The unique contribution of Christianity is Jesus.
Amen.
Right? And yeah. at the core of Christianity is somebody who... Jesus, who crossed all the barriers, becoming a man, and sacrificially gave himself
yes.
to promote reconciliation and forgiveness. And that's what I hear you talking about, the yeah. work that the Lord's done in your heart.
Yeah.
Because your story hasn't been easy either.
No. But it's been easier with him.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. yeah. And he also... when you make that step to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, the cleaning begins.
Right.
It begins to clean mm-hmm. inside, outside. Mm-hmm. Your thinking, mentally, physically, spiritually, mm-hmm. begins to be new again.
Right.
And you don't dwell in that past. You don't think of that, because the Bible says that you're a new creation,
mm-hmm.
you're a new creature.
Right.
Old things are gone.
Mm-hmm.
New things are here.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing.
You know, and those are the message of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And to reach the people in our own backyard that have for decades and decades have gone through all this stuff, to tell them there's hope
mm-hmm.
in one,
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Good.
That's the best news I have.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch the TV today and say, my news is better than yours.
That's right. Yeah. Now, I just have one final question for you. What, you know, all of the talk now is truth and reconciliation,
yeah.
appropriately so. What does truth and reconciliation for you, what does that look like?
First of all, I have to reconcile with God first.
Mm.
By that, my life has to be completely His.
Okay.
I have to reconcile with Him and say, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look here, the world is saying, there has to be reconciliation. Well, the word is easy to say, but the steps we're going to take, it's going to hit you home.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hit home.
Mm-hmm.
And are we ready? And a lot of times we will take words and use them and they're sometimes just meaningless because there's no action.
Right. Yeah.
You've got to have action. You've got to take that step.
Right.
And I love my Indian people. I've been blessed to be able to take the gospel in northern Saskatchewan, Alberta, different places. But I love that part, but we have to reconcile with God first. Mm. We have to get right with Him. Mm-hmm. And by getting right, we've got to come into Him. Mm-hmm. So we have to surrender.
Yeah.
Say, Lord, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And apology is good. I got good, but to me, it's not good enough.
Mm.
It has to be forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Number one is biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's biblical, it's good. It's right.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of people maybe don't know. They have to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what they understand, we have to have reconciliation. That is really a buzzword right now.
Yeah.
And many people don't really know the definition of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but to reconcile is a good step. But who do you reconcile to?
Right.
Yeah. So.
To God.
Amen.
And then to each other.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the work that we're trying to do, you know, is telling people, all people,
yes,
about Jesus,
yes,
who's done everything to reconcile. Yeah. And then hosting a conference like this weekend called Us Together,
mm-hmm,
where the horizontal reconciliation, where the storytelling, the history, and a huge part of our journey so far, Norm, has been trying to educate non-Indigenous people about the history, because I'm new to this conversation too.
Yeah.
Newer.
Yeah.
And for me, understanding your story,
mm-hmm,
growing up going to Catholic day school, not residential school, but it's those things that I'm like, oh, I can see why things are the way they are now.
Yes.
And so it's us together, like we talked about. Learning together, loving each other, testing and challenging our assumptions of each other, mm-hmm, as well, holding the highest thought of each other, even when we don't want to, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that particular part is, there's been so many negative stories about the Indigenous people.
Yeah.
But if we come together, share the gospel, share our stories, understand each other, you will have a good story at the end.
Right.
But how can we begin?
Mm-hmm.
We begin by reaching out.
Yeah.
Reaching out.
Yeah.
Getting to know each other, help each other,
mm-hmm,
and you will see the fruit, mm-hmm, of that down the road.
Yeah.
There's got to be good fruit.
Yeah.
When you're open, you want to shake a hand.
Yeah.
You want to learn from each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's my joy today,
mm-hmm,
is to tell people, not just the Native people, everybody,
yeah,
about what God has did in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm just one person,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just glad to be here, and I'm glad to be at the conference, eh?
Amen.
To work together. And
yeah.
So, no, that, I'm great, that's fine.
Well, Norm, I want to affirm you, and the work you're doing through our church,
yep,
you're opening doors for us that we never would have been able to open or would have taken decades.
Yep.
You know, you're being sought after by people, organizations, agencies in our community because you're an elder,
yep,
and you've done it with humility. So thank you so much, Norm, for your contribution, investment, you know, into the kingdom of God, into your people, and into what we're doing here at KAC.
Yeah. And the last word that I would leave for many people that saying, you know, are questioning, is just take us at face value, who we are.
Indigenous people at face value. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, and you'll be surprised,
mm-hmm,
what you hear, what you see, you know.
Yeah.
But just give us an opportunity to get to know each other.
Yeah.
That's it.
Amen. So that's it, my friends. A little glimpse into what we're doing here at KAC. This weekend's KAC on Mission. So this is, you know, a focus in on what we're doing, trying to create a better story with Indigenous people here in Canada. But this is a global story of people of all skin color and ethnicity and tribe and nation. And KAC's been on this road for 77 years, and since we started here in Kamloops. And so what we're trying to do here is just create a better future. And so come on board. What is God asking you to do? What role is he asking you to play?
Yes.
You may not have to be the cheerleader with your pom-poms with what we're doing here, but would you pray?
Yes.
You know, when we talk about mission, KAC on mission, it's give, pray, and go.
Yeah.
So what does that look like? What does that look like for you as we are doing our very best?
Amen.
It's imperfect. Man, it's imperfect. It's going to be messy. It has been messy. It will be messy.
Yeah.
But we are trying. And so would you get on board with what we're doing? And from the beginning, my friends, since I got here, I've been trying to, as much as we possibly can, not view KAC as a cruise ship where you get the buffets and you get catered to. But this is, in fact, a warship where we are all on mission together, doing something together. The metaphor is a little bit violent, but the image is there that we are all taking part in the global mission and local mission of God. And so come on board, my friends. There's an adventure to be had with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You'll get bannock and moose meat.
With bannock and moose meat. Thank you for tuning in. Lots of love to you. Bye-bye.